моих братьев, благослови наши руки. Мы в поисках больших денег, мы в деле круглые сутки. Благослови
моих братьев.
Episode of Big Dot Radio Show. I'm your host, Andres, and I have Miss Catherine Gerard. I said that right?
Yeah.
I do not like messing up people's names. Who's all the way in Greece? Another international interview for y'all. But Catherine is an artist and musician with a diverse range of talents. Said you're, let's see here, half French and Peruvian heritage, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
As an independent singer, harpist, and songwriter. And you specialize in creating emotive soundscapes that resonate with the heart. And Catherine, I can relate to you being an independent artist. Over here in the States, I deal with a lot of independent artists and them pursuing their careers. I saw that you come from a musical family, right?
Sorry, I couldn't understand your question.
Yeah, you come from a musical family?
No, not at all. My dad is an artist, but mm-hmm. my family is not really that musical. I basically grew up with the music on the radio. So I don't really know where does it come from. I always mm-hmm. loved arts. My parents always supported me doing different kinds of art. Also in a school in Peru, they celebrate every day, like Mother's Day, Father's Day. There's always something to celebrate. And mm-hmm. so that means that as children, we've always been exposed to performing arts in some way or another. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my family isn't really that musical. I had to learn a lot on my own.
Okay, so I saw that the harp, I guess, is your instrument of speciality. What drew you to that particular instrument?
Well, I actually sing first, so my main is the voice. And then I like to accompany myself with some instrument. I actually started with the guitar and then mm-hmm. discovered the harp, and I fell in love with it. It's more difficult than the guitar, but it's mm-hmm. doable, and it's very interesting, beautiful sound, and very delicate. So I just stick to that. And it's been a year more or less that I've been playing the harp.
I was going through your YouTube channel and listening to your music. Now,
thank you.
I'm not as versed in different languages like you are. I don't speak English, but the sound though, I can resonate with the energy, the passion. I can tell you're very passionate about what you do, and you sound really good.
Even though
I can't translate, but. And I also like how it sounds like you're mixing genres of music.
Yeah.
So what genres of music do you like the best? And then what made you want to, having a diverse approach towards it?
Okay, so yeah, the point of music is that it's a language on its own. So it really doesn't matter what language it is. You can understand the main feeling of that, and I think that's what makes a good song, first of all. And so for the genres, well, thank you very much for listening, by the way, to the mm-hmm. to the music. And I always loved the type of music that was quite in the edgier side of things, but as my family wasn't that musical, I was talking with some friends that maybe had rocker parents, and they know mm-hmm. all the albums and all the artists, and that came quite late for me. When I started meeting friends later on, and they started showing me things that are like classics, and for me it was mm-hmm. so new at that moment. So I really loved hard rock and heavy metal elements, like the passion of it, the raw mm-hmm. energy of it. But I also listened to a lot of pop from the 2000s, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I really love various elements of that, like all these choirs that they do behind. It's very, very typical of pop songs and very sticky melodies that stay in your head. And then I loved watching a lot of movies and listening to the soundtracks of the movies. So, and then also I have inspirations from history, medieval times, etc. So it kind of, it all melted together in my subconscious mind somehow. And then that's how it came out, because I really like productions with a lot of instruments and a lot of things and dynamics, that it goes very soft, then very, you know, with uplifting rhythm, etc. So I try to always keep that in mind, to have a lot of dynamics and nuances in my music. And I like just developing like this, an idea is always very, very simple, but then you develop it with the orchestration and it can become very complex. But it always starts with a simple idea, simple melody.
How influential is Western music, or the, I guess the Western hemisphere, over here in the United States and all that, to the Eastern hemisphere, into your location? How influential is it as far as from a musical standpoint?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
How so American music or Western music, as they like to call it, how influential is it to the industry in, like, you know, where you are in Greece and Italy and all those other locations, European? You know, everybody has their own type of style and stuff like that. But it seems like, from my understanding, Western music plays an important role in setting the tone of music that's developed over there as well.
Yeah, so basically everything that's Europe to the West is gonna be Western music, if we go in a very big umbrella, because we have a system with 12 notes and semitones, etc. So any music that is built upon that system is gonna be Western music, because the our Eastern side, other systems, like in India, for example, Eastern music, like in India, in Japan, in Asia, there are other systems where they will have like quarter of semitone, different systems, and therefore it's gonna sound very, very different. And they even have sounds that we don't use, and we are not used to in the traditional Eastern music. So after that, for example, in rock, I know that is the English rock and the American is a little bit different production-wise, where English rock is gonna be darker in sound than American, for example. And when we were recording our music with my producer, we experimented with a sound that is kind of in between, that is not too dark, not too English either, not too American. And that's the kind of things that you can do now. So it's going to have those little variations in the style, production wise. But after that, it's all also rock comes from blues, so there is a very heavy influence from this American style, of course, and on rock is an American style. So after that, I didn't realize it. It's not something that I did on purpose, but obviously, since I listen to a lot of Peruvian traditional music, of course, there's a lot of that in my music that just came through. I wasn't looking for doing that specifically, but then when you listen to it, it's like there's something Peruvian in there, musically speaking. That's really nice as well, to have that.
Are you tired of running your social media? Do you feel overwhelmed? Are you looking for more traffic to your website? Try bank.marketing. They offer a variety of campaigns, social media posts, podcast advertising,
digital radio, direct mail campaigns, and more. Call 478-388-0208. Email bank.marketing@gmail.com. Again, the number is 478-388-0208. Email is bankedoutmarketing@gmail.com. And remember, it's banked out with two T's.
So you're an independent artist. Does that mean the same thing over here? Does it mean, like, you know, you're doing everything yourself, you're managing yourself, you're getting all your professional contacts yourself, you're marketing yourself, things of that nature?
Yeah, independent artist basically means that you don't have a label that's backing you up. It's mm-hmm. not really backing you up. It's very difficult to be on a label because of many reasons. First of all, they will want you, especially nowadays, because when I speak to people who are like 60 years old or more, like they lived another era of music before social media, digital production, etc. So they always tell me, and even interviews that I see on the internet, like people on the labels were people who were looking for talent. Also, it was more difficult to produce the music. So you kind of had to be sure that what you were producing, what you were investing time and money in, was quality. Today, it's much easier to produce. So they, I don't know what they're looking for. Maybe just things that work, that you know that you it's like a formula. You do certain things and you obtain a certain result. And the results for them is really make more money. And they can be very harsh with artists. And for example, having contracts where you will only make like 10% of what the music makes, but you won't see that only after the label has recovered their initial investment. So you might not see anything for a while if you are successful, because majority of cases is that the song is not successful, but it means that it didn't reach the level they were expecting. So therefore, you maybe signed a 5-year contract, but if your single they produced didn't reach that level they were expecting, then you are sitting there wasting time because you signed an exclusive contract and you cannot do anything outside them, but they are not going to produce anything more from you. So it's very harsh, and I think it's unfair. So I decided to go for the independent route. That is difficult, but today, even though attention is difficult to grab, you have way much more exposure through social media and the internet than you had ever before. So that's what I'm doing, basically. And what's funny is that once you get to a certain level by yourself, labels start contacting you because, that person makes money, let me grab a little bit from it. But it's like, you did nothing for me to get there. You just want to reap the fruits that you didn't work for, right?
No, I definitely get that. Like I said, I work with a lot of independent artists here in the United States, and I love the independent route, like you said, but it is harder to grab attention nowadays. It seems like, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like some people get into music as a stepping stone for something else, as opposed to just, you know, loving music and wanting to push the envelope of music and try new sounds and things of that nature. So sort of like pollutes it a little bit, and the consumers, you know, it's hard to find the right people that will gravitate towards your music. Do you feel like, you know, you experienced that?
It's a two-sided story, because for once, how marketing works is that people have a need. In this case, they have a need for good music, let's say, but they don't know that your music exists, for example. So first of all, it starts with having really good quality music, which to a certain extent is kind of subjective, because if I don't like trap, you can show me a objectively good song of trap and I won't like it, because trap is not my thing. But this is the thing. It's two things: having great quality music and then showing it to the right people who are going to appreciate it. I mean, I have heard friends of mine who do trap hip hop fusion, and it's really good. And even though it's not my thing, I can appreciate that it's a good music, but I won't be listening to it all day long because I'm not the right audience for that. So marketing is about showing, so the solution is your good music, right? To that problem, I don't have good music that feeds my soul and makes me happy. So I have that. But if I don't promote it, then they'll never know that I am the solution. I'm here. So you need to do your best to promote what you have, to believe in what you have, and also be have a professional attitude, because I've seen a lot of artists who are like, well, I know that I won't live off of my music anyway. So they just approach it already with a hobby attitude that is not going to have the engagement you need to have, the commitment, the consistency, the discipline to do day by day, song by song, making your way there, right? And also the third thing is that because of this right audience thing, you don't really need to have like millions to be known by the whole planet to make yourself a living. You need to grow your community as much as possible. But some people believe in niches, and there's two approaches for a niche. Is either you have, for example, heavy metal with a Celtic twist or a folk twist. That's like your unique angle on the niche of heavy metal, or you can create a niche of category of one. The one I prefer is that I cannot be classified. I have several elements. I do music, and you put your personality into it. You put your values into it. So it goes beyond the music. You develop a culture around your music that makes people feel that they belong to a community, and therefore they become your tribe, and therefore they support you. And for making a living that is decent and that allows you to keep doing music, you need that more than millions of people that know you exist, you know.
So how do you measure success? Like, some people, you know, look at success as, you know, a certain financial goal. Some people, I look at it like you're reaching your goals as far as like you put out a project, you have a community that supports you, you're able to do what you love to do full time. How do you measure success?
Well, the thing is that success is like, I realized that it's like an infinite game, like this Alex Hormozi says. Mm-hmm. I pretty much agree with it because, and also there's several aspects of life. And if you need to measure your success in how you are, I think, enjoying that infinite game. Like, for example, when I don't always have time to make music, but the days I could wake up and start doing music, those were the days where I will feel fulfilled and happy, because that's like my purpose. You can't always, no matter how much you love what you do, there's always gonna be something you don't like doing, but you have to do it, so you keep doing what you love doing, right? So I would say is how much you are enjoying that infinite game, because some people just make it about, I'll be happy or I'll be successful when I sell X amount of copies, or when I reach X amount of followers, or when I earn X amount of money on my music. But after that, what? Once you get there, what? It was not the goal that was important. It was the journey that fueled you. And of course, it's important to have like goals in within that, like levels in that infinite game, because it's in video games, they keep you motivated because you go a level up each time, right? And you need those. You need to have like objectives to arrive. But at the end of the day, it's more about, okay, how much did I enjoy this day towards that temporary goal? Because after that, so basically what I'm trying to say is that you shouldn't measure your level of happiness if success is happiness. based on a particular goal. It has to be in the process itself that you are following. And if each day you feel like you gave it your all and that you did, you advanced, even if it's just an inch on towards your dream, your vision, mm-hmm. More than a goal. And mm-hmm. your vision can be like, I have a vision is playing in front of thousands of people, for example, one of my songs, and everyone is singing along with me, for example, and mm-hmm. I'm doing that, breathing that, eating music mm-hmm. the whole day. And if the path has to feel the same as the goal, mm-hmm. and I can feel that I'm breathing, eating, and walking, and being music and art the whole day, I'm already there. I'm successful. So it's this balance between making the future your present already mm-hmm. now in your situation. So the way the process is fulfilling as well. That's how you win, I think, really, because if you attach it to a goal, you either get there and then what, or you mm-hmm. don't get there and you don't appreciate all the other things.
So do you currently, or have you been touring? And if so, like, where do you tour? Like, how far do you go out?
So I haven't toured because I basically launched my career with mm-hmm. the pandemic, and it was lockdown and everything. Mm-hmm,
okay.
And touring is like another beast. It's another business. So you have the CD merchandise mm-hmm. community thing, and then you have touring. And then you might have like big stars would have other. So they always build like a global brand. That's why it's so important to show your personality and all the things you love. Not, and that's what makes the category of one thing, because mm-hmm. there's actually, if you see those artists who got millionaire, for example, they don't make it just with the music. They create a brand. And then from the brand, they have their music. They maybe can have a book or a clothing line or a perfume, very common mm-hmm. perfume, makeup in women. So they always take advantage of the brand they build, and mm-hmm. they build different things. And so at the end of the day, you have a side of business person as well. Mm-hmm. And that's important to take into account because we love music so much. We forget that, and at some point it's all music, 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 music. But sadly, sad reality is that retail music, like mm-hmm. the albums and such, mm-hmm. they have lost a lot of value because of the streaming, etc. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you only have that, then you need a lot of volume, obviously, to make a living. But if you have a global brand where you can have different things all related to the culture of your music, the vibe, mm-hmm. then it's easier for you to make it. And that's mm-hmm. not that doesn't make your music any less valid. It's just an extension. It's like why people buy Star Wars merchandise or mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings merchandise is because mm-hmm. the movie has ended. And it was so good. I want more. I need to mm-hmm. extend the feeling. How do you extend the feeling? Obviously, you can rewatch the movie again, but you can also buy a Gandalf miniature mm-hmm. or the whole collection of things and the t-shirts and this and that. It's all trying to relive that feeling. So that's the same as a musician or an artist. All the things you do is, let's extend the feeling of that music. So you have that as well. And so touring is another beast, and it's very easy for beginner musicians to fall into several traps. So it's also very important to build an audience first. Mm-hmm. And from that audience, then you can, for example, do polls to see where your fans live, for example. And maybe you have 40 fans that are totally willing to see you play live in Connecticut. Now mm-hmm. you know that you can rent a venue there for mm-hmm. 20 people, because you can have in a poll 40 people saying I'd go, but then maybe half of them go. So mm-hmm. you can have a small venue, because now you know that in advance this amount of people can come, and then you organize a concert accordingly. And then it's always better to have a sold out, half people couldn't even enter, because that creates hype. Oh, that mm-hmm. person is very, very demanded. It has a fan base, right? Mm-hmm. And then you grow from there. And many people, what they do is the venue will ask them to rent the place. And also they have to even buy tickets in advance and then try to sell them to. So they already start losing money. And that's mm-hmm. something I want to avoid. That's why I'm focusing more on building my brand a lot first. So mm-hmm. then I can do concerts the way I really want to do them. Good quality, etc. Have an engineer with me, because mm-hmm. that's also a problem with beginner musicians, is that most of the time they can't have an engineer with them to control the sound, and then it sounds mm-hmm. terrible, and it's like all that effort you put mm-hmm. into making good music mm-hmm. or then mm-hmm. having a shitty sound live. Yeah. That's how you said that, shooting yourself on the foot, you know.
Yeah. Catherine, for somebody who has a new career or just started your career during the pandemic for music, you have a very well versed approach and mindset for it. I've been working with artists since 2005, and I rarely come across artists who understand where they want to go. So you are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You got to keep that going. I love it.
Of course.
Well, tell me, how are you incorporating the creative power of AI into your whole brand and music and all that?
Okay, so that's a great question, because the first thing when most people hear about AI is either like they picture Terminator already, mm-hmm. right? And I don't think it's going to come to that level. And I also don't think it's going to replace artists in any way. I love to compare it with when digital painting arrived. Mm-hmm. And so people went crazy and they were like, no, traditional drawing is done, is dead. And that's not true. Not only people kept doing traditional drawing, they are using digital drawing in many cases to enhance their traditional pieces. So mm-hmm. I think the same happens with AI. I personally use it in for the artwork. I use it mm-hmm. for creating composites, because I need to appear in the picture. So Photoshop has a feature now that creates a background for your picture, and it's great because it's gonna use the same color palette, the same exposure, so it accelerates the process a lot. But then I personally do a lot of work afterwards to convert it into a complete piece. Like it doesn't give you the final job, absolutely not, but it does inspire you, it gives you ideas, and it accelerates the process. That's for the artwork. Then for the animation, I never use AI. That's frame-to-frame traditional animation. I know there is an AI program that does animation, but I really like doing that. So for me, it's not necessary, but it's good to know that it exists, because not every musician knows animation or has the budget to hire an animation company. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, you know, you focus on what you're good at. You don't need to do your animation yourself if you want animation. And then you can also do videos with AI that mm-hmm. I haven't tried before, but I'm studying that, because you can also create backgrounds and things to spice it up and have variation, mm-hmm. especially for fantasy genres like mine. That's a really mm-hmm. great tool. Like I can put myself into an enchanted forest, for example, and mm-hmm. and that's amazing. So I don't have to have the budget to go to a forest, shoot mm-hmm. there with a theme, and then edit, et cetera, et cetera. It just makes it easier and cheaper. I think it's great. And then for promotion, you know, for marketing strategies, is ChatGPT is a great tool because you can, for example, you give it your lyrics and you say, this is the topic of my lyrics. I need you to analyze and create a marketing strategy with a narrative. The marketing strategies for launching a single or an album have to have a narrative that mm-hmm. the fans can follow. It's like a topic, you know? And so ChatGPT can give you all the plan, like if it was an advisor, on the kind of content you should do, the kind of people you should go to for collaborations and things. They give you all the planning. So that's a great tool, amazing for independent musicians and for free. And then the last thing I have discovered is because I was wondering, how can I use that for music as a musician? AI that can generate a song for you is not very much useful because I can generate the songs myself. That's why mm-hmm. I'm a musician. But I found out yesterday, I have a secondary project where I do try on hauls. It's just clothing, YouTube video. And I wanted to create the music because it's another excuse to just practice making music. And so I asked ChatGPT, okay, for this type of video that is a try-on, is a nightwear, etc., what kind of music would you create for it? What instruments would you use? What keys, what scales, what tempo? I asked him all of these things. And then it came out with paragraph after paragraph of ideas, like you can use piano, strings, this and that, soft percussion, etc. Use this tempo. You can use one of these key signatures, like F major, G. Mm-hmm. He did gave me the signature. So all that is like guessing time you save for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not creating the music for you. It's like if you asked someone, what kind of music do you think that video can have? And it's mm-hmm. telling you all the details. So, oh, that makes it faster. Okay, D major, because I almost never use D major, for example. Okay, that's mm-hmm. cool. And now I'm going to use it. And it says piano. Well, I haven't used piano in my compositions lately. So that's great that it reminds me that instrument exists. So mm-hmm. I use it. And from there, you start creating and it accelerates the process. And that's, I think, a great way a musician can use AI. Let's just say ethically, because if you're mm-hmm. a musician, you are expected to be the one writing the music. Yeah. If you're a coach and you just want music, you can go to Beethoven, for example, and generate a music for you. And it's mm-hmm. awesome. You're a coach, not a musician. Why would you have to learn to make music, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I use AI.
Love it. How many languages do you speak?
So I speak English. Spanish is my native language. Then mm-hmm. French because of my dad. And mm-hmm. then a little bit of Italian and a little bit of German. I almost forgot everything already.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I love it. I just wanted to ask that question because, you know, I know I guess more than bilingual, trilingual, whatever the proper terminology would be. I just wish I could speak another language. I'm about to start doing that. So my final question, since, you know, I'm saying you've been in the industry and you learned a lot, is there anything you would change if you had the power to change about the music industry?
If I had the power to change something in the music industry, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you change?
Well, there's something related with AI, actually, that mm-hmm. I would like to change because I don't remember. I need to look for it. A company that was taking copyrighted music mm-hmm. to train their AI models mm-hmm. without permission of the authors and without obviously compensation in money for those authors, which means that anyone can come and create a music that sounds like you, but it's theirs, they register it, they make the money, and you, nothing. So mm-hmm. I don't know who is behind that, if it's labels that some of them can be so greedy. I feel that they, if they could get rid of the artist, they would, you know, so that they can keep 100% of the revenue. I don't know that, but I would like to let people know that that is happening. And if is someone out there who knows how to build AI that can build a model that you as an artist can train on your own music, so meaning that you feed it your own music. So let's say you need to have a product on a certain deadline, and you are sick, for example, this AI model can generate a song for you, but it's yours because you fed it with your own music, and it can say, it can save you in an emergency. And maybe because if you are, for example, in soundtrack, in movie soundtracks composition, deadlines are very short. And if you get sick and you cannot finish the gig, you lose that money. You can lose at least $30,000 that you can be paid in a low budget movie for doing the soundtrack. And so if you had an AI model that you can train on your own music only, and that can save your butt in that type of situations, I think that would be really useful, instead of creating a model that starts basically plagiarizing everyone, right? And therefore my model would look nothing like yours, you know? So that would be something that could be good. I will say goodbye to labels, honestly. That can go now. We can go directly to the fan and get their support and have a close relationship with them. And they love it. They love to have that relationship with you. That's what I would change if I could.
That's amazing. I love that. So everybody who's going to watch this interview, let them know, where can they go to, you know, find out more about you? Where do you want them to be directed to?
So I have, there's my, all my socials are Catherine Gerard, so CATHERINE, and then the last name is GAIRARD. So that's my main socials, where it's my website with all my music projects, NFT music as well. That's great because it has given the value back to music. So that's absolutely great. Also, that I advise beginning musicians to get around Twitter and now X and get some information about it. The community is really, really welcoming and beautiful.
Well, Catherine, I've enjoyed talking to you. Keep doing what you're doing. Like I said, I like the music. I feel it. I might not understand the lyrics, but I understand the passion. So keep doing what you're doing. I want to see you as this big, huge, successful artist, and you being able to achieve whatever dreams that you want to. Definitely would love to have you back on the show later on to see how your career has been progressing. Yeah, make sure y'all go and y'all follow Catherine, and I also have all her social media handles popping up.